Sunday schools are full of caring women who, as it turns out, have something very important to give.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This broadcast is also produced as a free podcast, which you can find on iTunes or become a subscriber through our website. We'll have more information at the end of the broadcast, but for right now, let's join Pastor Terry as he preaches this insightful message.
I'm a researcher, and I have been for most of my adult life, and what I want to talk to you about today, I actually talked to you about 5 years ago on Mother's Day, and did the research for it then, and have renewed and updated that research for this occasion. In setting out then, let me tell you one little story about two grown children raised in a mansion in the Barrington Hills neighborhood of Chicago, who for 2 years leading up to 2011 pressed a lawsuit against their mother. The lead attorney for the children was their father, and you can see right away this is going to be an inspiring story. The mother and the father had broken up in 1995. The lawsuit, as I say, was 2009 through 2011. The kids wanted $50,000 from their mother for emotional distress as a beginning, larger punitive damages, and other things to follow. So what did this woman do to so embitter and infuriate her children? I warn you in advance, this is a little rough and you may not want to hear it. If that is the case, you can cover your ears. But for one thing, this cruel, inhuman, monster mom called her teenage daughter on the cell phone that the mom was paying for at midnight to suggest that it was time to come home. Can you imagine? Everybody say, no. If that isn't enough, this woman who had the nerve to call herself a mother sent her college-age son a birthday card he didn't like. The card featured a row of tomatoes, all identical except one that was different because it had craft store Google eyes on it that shook around when you moved the card. And the card read, "I sent this card to you because it's like you, different from all the rest." There's a prejudicial message. The card did not even include a check or cash gift. The horror. There's more. The foot-tall legal complaint included such barbarities as children being forced to wear their seatbelts, the mother failing to buy them things that they really wanted, refusing to take the daughter to a car show, and haggling over the amount of money the kids thought they needed for things at different times. 2011, the judge threw the case out. There is justice in this world from time to time. Now, the last time I reviewed these statistics, so many people approached me and told me that they were so dismal and upsetting that I threw this in just to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. 1998, 5-year-old girl was found dead in a New York apartment. Her neck was broken, her arms were broken, her legs were broken. Her face and body were covered with bruises and cuts and welts. Her 9-year-old brother had hidden in the closet, dragged himself there after his legs and both clavicles and 6 other bones were broken. Also covered in cuts and bruises and welts. And he hid in the closet, barely able to move further, listening to the screams while the attention of the murderer was turned on his little sister, who he really wanted to help. But his own injuries were so catastrophic, and he was terrified of his drug-addicted mother. The scenario in 1998 was only the beginning of what came to be known as the crack mom phenomenon. And these days, the demographics have shifted a little bit, and it's gone on to the opium epidemic. But even with the demographic shift, that continuing problem is responsible for a totally unforeseen statistical shift in the 21st century. 5 years ago, when I did this research, it was then the case that violent abuse of a child was 3 times more likely to be perpetrated upon the child by their mother than by their father. 3 times. Part of the problem is the dads aren't there. Sometimes the dad was never there. Child never knew the father. Sometimes the father had been there and left. And some of the abuse from the male side was by a series of men who came and lived with the mother, some of whom she married, some of whom she did not. But it all counted together and all factored together. The mothers were still responsible 3-1 for violence inflicted upon their children. I did update this, and the phenomenon is more than just the United States. The lead study for 2017 was in Australia, but some in the United States as well. As of last year, 71% of children who are killed by only one of their parents, and boy, it's sad that sometimes there's a conspiracy, 71% of children who are killed by only one of their parents are killed by their mother. 60% of those are boys. Boys are more likely right down the line to be abused than girls. Non-murder, but serious abuse, defined as results to a trip to the hospital, 70.6% inflicted by mom, 24.9% by dad. Milder abuse, not resulting in a trip to the hospital, is a little more evenly split, 49% by mom, 40% by dad, the remainder a joint project. Physical abuse, as bad as it is some years outpaced by abandonment. And the abandonment takes a lot of form. Sometimes the kids are just left home alone for days or weeks while mom goes off somewhere and binges. Sometimes the kids are left on the street while mom goes into some house and binges. Sometimes the kids are left in the park when mom gets in a car and drives to another state, and maybe she comes back and maybe she doesn't. A rash of studies 5 years ago and continuing today are being done about moms who don't leave but are just unavailable. That is, the mom is there in the home, but she doesn't cook, doesn't wash, doesn't help with homework, doesn't read stories, doesn't hand out hugs. And the picture that arises from these studies is not encouraging. Drug addiction is part of the problem, big part, but only part. I believe you also have to contend with the redefining of the concept of family which includes the redefining of the role of mother. And redefining the role of mother changes many things. We've known since the 1990s that children who are abused or abandoned by their fathers are many, many times more likely to commit violent crimes and end up in prison. We are finding out, and now 5 years later, this is still borne out, that children who are abused or abandoned by their mothers are many, many times more likely to commit suicide. An interesting fact in this day when suicide is so prevalent. Long time ago, Solomon wrote the words that Mark read for us this morning. I read it in King James this moment because I just like the ring of this verse in King James. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. A couple of clarifications to make sure we understand. The chains around the neck thing is not to be understood as confinement, but bling, ornament, as the American Standard has it. And the American Standard has the wreath, puts the wreath on your head instead of ornament. So King James and American Standard trade back on some of the words, but we should understand the implications. The wreath, or the ornament of grace, it's like putting the crown or the tiara on the little girl or the Olympic ivy on the little boy, remembering the instruction of the father and the law of the mother makes you a winner. Solomon insists that there is a correlation between these things and becoming a worthwhile. We are, in our modern society, somewhat belatedly coming to understand what a kid really gets from their parents, from their father, a sense of safety and the feeling that I can do this, from their mother, a sense of worthiness, the notion that you are and deserve to be loved. Children abandoned and abused by their mothers believe above all else that they are not worthy. They are not lovable. And it often cripples them for life. They become consumed with these feelings of unworthiness and isolation. They find themselves incapable of developing and sustaining important emotional bonds. They are, as a group, people who have been abused or abandoned by their mothers, sad and resigned and tired. And suicide comes to them naturally. Solomon phrased it, the law of your mother and the legal code of momhood may involve several tenets, but chief among them surely is this: you are loved. Someone was supposed to put the tiara on that little girl's head. Someone was supposed to put that ivy wreath over that little boy's ears. And if they didn't, there are consequences. And the consequences are difficult to undo, not impossible, but it's extremely hard to make up for what a child didn't get from their mother. Believe it or not, there is a growing body of evidence, and this also has only been confirmed by sociologists in the last 5 years since I last looked at these things, a growing body of evidence that the very best prospect for providing what a child did not receive, should have but did not receive from his or her mother, the very best prospect for providing those things belatedly is the church. Sociologists who don't even believe in God are coming to this recognition. Church nurseries and Sunday schools are full of caring women who, as it turns out, have something very important to give to the very neediest element of our society. And even for adults, it's not too late. The love of a good congregation is among the best hopes for an adult marred by the lack of mom law. It's a definite and growing need in our society, and we must reach out to meet it. And beyond that, we must try to make it unnecessary for future generations to have to meet such a need by producing good mothers who will apply mom's law to their children in the first place, so they will grow up knowing they are loved. This is part of God's design for the family, and the church is right to resist efforts to undermine or redefine the family. In fact, the church is wrong when it fails to resist such efforts. I was pretty tough on drug-addicted moms in setting out, but let me ask you, who taught this class of woman that the traditional family was not the thing? Who maligned in their ears the traditional role of motherhood and made it out to be some sort of straight-jacketed modern-day version of slavery fostered by a cultural patriarchy? Who told them these things? Who taught them that their chief fulfillment in life lay elsewhere entirely? Whoever taught them those lessons, let me tell you, as it turns out, was no friend of children and no friend of women either. If modern womanhood is marred by failure, we probably have to acknowledge as a society that we failed them first. And if ever the church was needed to bolster families, it is needed now. And if ever there was a class of people consumed by guilt and sadness, confusion and moral exhaustion, if ever there was someone that such a class of people needed to meet, that someone is Jesus Christ. And who will introduce them if not us? Who will point them to Jesus if not us? If we have not understood this as part of our mission, it is time for us to do so, and Mother's Day is a good time to start. Now, I don't mean to cast a downer on the whole thing, because obviously I'm preaching to the choir. This is a room filled with mothers who have conferred the crown of love upon their children, and children who have received that blessing from their mothers. I certainly have received it. Praise God. And celebrate well today. And then spare a thought for those who have less to celebrate. And think what we can do for them. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, chains about thy neck. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the blessings that we have received, imparted by your great design through our mothers. And I pray that you reach out, and that you reach out through us to those who have been denied that blessing. And help us to love them. And help us to point them to Jesus Christ. And help each of us, Father, also to love Christ more. To serve Christ more faithfully. For we ask this in His name. Amen.
We want to take a moment to thank all of you, our listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church broadcast on this station. You can find out more about the church with a quick visit to our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.